How's it going, guys? Debbie Salzman, good evening. Good evening. Happy Sunday. You know, the weather hasn't been as nice, but not crazy, though. At least it's not like pouring down rain or super cold or anything. I actually got out. Titus and I went on a short hike. We call it the No Name Bluff, but it's on the coastal. It's kind of on the coastal trail, outside of like China Creek and everything. But it's this steep kind of bluff thing that just noses to maybe 250 feet above the ocean. It's pretty gnarly. Hey, Diana Cooper. So Silas has a cool new song. I haven't heard it yet, but it's cool. I'm sure it's cool. Silas, you want a boogie? Sure. Dave Barnes, how's it going, man?
This song that I'm gonna play is one that I've actually known for like 3 weeks, and I just been working on because I really like it. It's called Free of Charge by the band Camino.
Can't wait to see where that gets you. Keep on doing. said in your car, you called me yours, free of charge. I gave you my heart, you gave me yours, free of charge.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. That is a cool one, dude.
Yeah.
You nailed it, too. Crazy strumming. Oh, hey, Catherine Hill. Candace Michelle zooming. Yeah, zooming to watch them decorate their tree. Yeah. That's what you do, though, right? I mean, even before COVID, we've, like, FaceTimed grandparents when we were, in kids doing a play or something, you know. Yeah, Holly Sweet Silas. Yeah. Yeah. He's a good one. I'm trying to figure out, and we'll probably continue to try to figure out the complexity of having a young man, having a son that's, through puberty and actually just a young man. And naturally what happens when you have two men inside of a household. And it turns out Silas, just like every other man, wants liberty, and doesn't want to be under people's thumb. So it's interesting. Holly, he almost called you mom at science fair. That's funny. That's pretty stinking funny. So let's see, this weekend. Oh, I got it. I'll tell you about the wreaths across America. I'll talk about that. Today, guys, I did that Christmas Graham. Bye, sweetie. You guys leaving now?
Yes.
Yeah. Love you. The whole family, we did that Christmas Graham and Gramps thing with Harmony and me. And that was cool. That was pretty cool. And we went and did it in person because they were set up. They were set up at Bi-Mart. So we just went and did it there instead of like taking a video and sending it to them. And it was cool. I'm glad I went. I got to meet Trisha Iverson, I think it is. Iverson? Trisha Iverson that I had on here with me one time. So I got to meet her in person. Her Babin. I can't think what Babin's first name is. The young lady. She was involved with Azalea Park Foundation for a while. Alyssa Babin. Anyway, your son wants his own liberty. Yeah, Candace, I know. I said that. I said that tongue in cheek because, what a surprise, right? And it's good. Like what other way would a parent have it? I definitely wouldn't want my sons growing up without ever challenging their current authority, being their parents. And same with same with my daughters. I mean, that's part of the deal, I suppose, is in raising strong young adults. You're on the receiving end of that sometimes. Yeah, them being all spirited. It's just the beginning. Yeah. It seems like at least currently, he needs a job. Dave Barnes. Dave Barnes. If he wants liberty, he needs a job. And so that is where the arguments usually kind of conclude, right? When it really push comes to shove, I get it, but everything around us is mine because I work for it. And if you want yours, you got to get a job. So that's funny. That's funny. What was I saying? Christmas Graham, we did that. And Wreaths Across America. So the Wreaths Across America at 9:00 Saturday morning. It was great that it wasn't pouring down rain. Obviously the sun wasn't out. And it was kind of drizzly a couple times, but not really, not too wet. And that was a lot. That was a lot of work and effort by Debbie Salzman, who's on here. Debbie Salzman and Don Bemis, you know. Thank you guys for that, because that's a lot. That's a lot of work. The rest of us just kind of show up at showtime, do our thing, and shake some hands, and then leave. And the work that, you know, those of you that are actually, like, in the nuts and bolts of it, all the work you did beforehand, and then all the work you do after we all leave, it's commendable. It's really commendable. But it was an awesome thing. I think I've mentioned before that I really hadn't done something like that before. And it was up at the cemetery, and it was a spot of the cemetery that's kind of like it, not layered, there's a name for that, but with concrete barriers, the ground kind of steps up, and it's where they have the flags. And they have these concrete, like 2 foot square concrete big pads with the service medallion on it for every branch of the service. I don't know how many total people were there, but it was a good crowd of veterans and non-veterans. And we did get to, there was a terrace. Thank you, Dave Barnes. Yeah. Man, sometimes. A man named Bud Dubay, a World War II vet. He was actually a veteran of Okinawa and the whole Hacksaw Ridge thing. The Hacksaw Ridge thing made famous by a soldier that didn't carry a gun. He was a medic. They made a movie out of it. We're thinking about 50 or 75 Debbie Salzman, numbers wise. Yeah. It'd be in years to come, man. It'd be really great just to fill that whole stinking place with people. And I think it could be done. So, got to meet Bud. It was great to meet a World War II vet. And two, it was great to meet a World War II vet that was, like, still, spry. Still pretty spry. And he's shaking hands, but he kept making a point to introduce his bride. His bride of, like, it was either 73 or 74 years is how long they've been married, man. That's a long stinking time. So it was nice honoring him and all the other vets there, and recognizing a lot of them, you know, from around town and everything. I got the honor, really the honor of kind of emceeing the whole deal and being able to speak a bit. And it was just a really cool, touching ceremony. One of the coolest parts about that whole deal that I wouldn't have even thought of was hearing a bugle play, you know, the classic, like, flag lowering, or, you know, shots being fired, that tune they play on the bugle. I don't know if I've ever heard that, like, actually in the flesh. I'm pretty sure that was the very first time. And that's really a moving thing, because that sound in that song is tied to so many things in your head, or in my head, having to do with veterans and sacrifice and war. So it was cool. I hope everybody had a good time. I'm sure they did. My family really enjoyed it. It was cool introducing them to Bud and a handful of other veterans, and I'm hoping that even with my youngest son Titus, that he'll remember that now, he'll remember it now, and the other kids will too, because they're plenty old enough. The taps. I don't think I'd ever actually, like, heard it. I mean, I've heard it plenty on movies, and I've heard it, you know. Well, I guess just on movies. But I'd never heard it. I don't think I'd ever actually heard it in person at a ceremony like that. Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of sad, right? But But it was cool, and I was moved by my own speech. I didn't write the speech. It was supplied with the request for me to MC the event. So there were some powerful words, and it seems like more and more certain things will catch me when I'm public speaking, and it'll kind of pull the heartstrings a little more than what I, you know, would have anticipated. And sure enough, right when we get to the area of the speech where, you know, talking about freedoms and liberties not being passed through bloodstream, and it's something that our children are going, it's a mantle, like, that our children are going to have to pick up and fight for the same freedoms, and it's never really that fight never really ends. But sure enough, I start to say that, and I just had to pause for a minute, but I think it did all right. Titus told me, I asked at the end, I said, so how do you think I did, Titus? And he goes, well, okay, you glitched a lot. You glitched a lot. That was funny. Boyce was there. Boyce gave a spiel. David Brock Smith, I thought was going to be there, but he didn't make it. I know he has a... I know they're getting ready to go in a session, I think. So I'm sure he's working quite a bit. But it was really cool. I mean, before the first few wreaths that were laid were from individual members of specific branches of the military, so they all got laid first. You know, a veteran lays it for the Marines, and a veteran lays it for the Army. And, good, choking up is absolutely correct. Yeah, Candace, that's what I tell myself. So they all lay them individually, and then the kind of the talking and the ceremony, part ends, and then we can all partake in laying wreaths. And that was a moving thing, you know, laying those and speaking the vet's name aloud, and just, you know, standing there and thinking about him for a second and just honoring them in that way. It was great. I'm really thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful that my family was able to join me, and, you know, I was able to lay some of those wreaths with my son, and Holly was able to do it with some of the kids too. Quite a thing. He had an emergency session, but called us to know he couldn't make it. Yeah. I know that he David Brock Smith would have been there if he could have, for sure. So you got me and Boyce, and Boyce fits in. You know, he does well and things like that. He fits in there. So it was good to see him. I couldn't help but kind of harass him a little bit on the walk. Where we park, where you drive into the cemetery and kind of park, and then we have to walk up for the ceremony. And so I'm walking with him, you know, and I can't help but harass him a little bit. I'm like, what's going on up there, man? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you guys got a shit show going on up there, man. What's up? And then he was able to play it off and deflect. But so that was that. That was the Wreaths Across America event. And Debbie, I look forward to doing it next year. I mean, even if I don't get the same participation in it, if I don't get to participate that way, I look forward to being there. Yeah, very cool. So I've gotten over the last like maybe week or 2 weeks, a few different people have tagged me in posts, and I've gotten a few notes, and Andy Martin asked me on my last video just around the subject of the county commissioners sending a letter to the governor asking her to open everything back up. And then I was tagged in a post by it was a kind of an open letter that the mayor of Sandy, Oregon wrote, and I think he actually sent it to the governor about opening his city's businesses up, and people, know you were MC while you were mayor. Right on, Debbie. I got one more at least then. Right on. So people tagging me on there and wanting to know either my feelings about the city council sending a letter to the governor, like the county did, or try just to join into some like collective kind of protest, or just bucking the governor's order and encouraging all local businesses to open back up. So, on as far as the letter that the county wrote, or the city of Brookings writing a letter to the governor asking her to ease or change restrictions, I'm not opposed to it. I haven't specifically brought it up to the council. You know, I'm not like super when I think about it and think about what the objective is first off in writing the letter, and what it is that we really want to see happen, and then what likely outcomes would be and possible consequences of doing something like that would be. I haven't heard any of the other counselors bring up anything like that, so I have no idea what they would want to do. The letter that the mayor of Sandy wrote, and letters that I think you're gonna see more mayors write, where it's just kind of like, you know, look, governor, we're bucking you. We're just gonna kind of buck you, and we're gonna open back up. Something like that is not something that I'm interested in. You know, for one thing, if I wrote a letter to Governor Brown saying, I don't care about your rules, I'm gonna encourage all my businesses to open up, that will, the reaction to that will just be a phone call to you know, OSHA, the health board, to get some enforcement agents down in the Brookings area and to watch for businesses opening up. So I feel like that would be detrimental to our restaurants. If in fact a local restaurant just like opened up their doors, you know, if they just opened up and welcomed people in to come and sit down and eat, I don't want to have instigated a reaction from the governor, you know, from it, because it doesn't take long. Obviously, if there's a small city mayor that questions the governor, there's nothing in it for her to just be okay with that or to not respond to that. It wouldn't take long. It'd bring the thunder pretty quick. So I know there, you know, mayors around the state are chatting, at least a good portion of them, and there's, you know, there's get-togethers of just mayors over Zoom, and a lot of different ideas, and mayors have different ideas as far as what their jobs are too during all this thing. So I don't know exactly what the future holds. I wouldn't be surprised though if we're in this state that we're in right now for more than a few weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see entire cities, mayor and everybody standing up and just saying, no, we're opening it up. We're opening up restaurants at least. Because I get how, if it's truly about not spreading COVID and keeping numbers down, Everything that I've heard and been told by health authorities in the area, our case spikes and new positive tests, they're all coming from private socializing and workplace. So I'm not really seeing keeping restaurants closed as helping the spread of COVID at all. The county is working on a small business sanctuary ordinance. Interesting. I've spoken to three restaurant owners inside of the city of Brookings, and ask them what they, you know, if there was something that they could, something they needed from us, if they had an idea of maybe doing some outdoor dining. You can think of a few restaurants in town, like where there's Oxenfree, Black Trumpet, Compass Rose, that area right there. That kind of that small almost parking lot road that goes in there in front of those businesses, and there's just a few parking spots. I mean, that entire thing could be closed off and just opened up to just a big outdoor dining thing, right? The issue is, you know, that means the city, we can't provide any sort of outdoor dining space as far as, you know, built and everything. We can't really build it for them. So for them to shell out coin to come up with some, you know, pretty massive, like, covered, you know, some tent sort of things for dining, or something to that effect that made outdoor dining even feasible for them in the wintertime, like we're in right now. So I don't know how many of them are going to wind up trying to do something like that, or just closed and try to ride it out. But definitely, if there's any industry you can point at and just say, man, they're getting the crap end of this stick of this whole thing, restaurants, you know, and that's going to hurt. If we lose some, you know, the probability of them coming back, I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough one. It's tough. I've been down that road. Hang on, Annie Martin. What happened to the giant outbreak that some of the doom and gloom locals kept saying was going to happen this summer if things opened up? Not saying we shouldn't practice social distancing. Yeah. Annie Martin, I get it. And I said some of the same things, you know, both ways. Like, the whole, you know, tourism being shut down. And then when motels and hotels open back up, it's like, holy smokes, we're going to have a spike in 2 weeks. And then the Azalea Festival thing, right? Holy smokes, you guys do the Azalea Festival. We're going to have this big spike in cases. And I'm not so sure any of that really mattered a whole lot. I mean, the spike, that we're seeing now and the case numbers that we're seeing now, don't really have any direct link to tourism. Don't really have any direct link to eating out. It's all just, it's private, private social gatherings and workplace. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope, I saw Fat Irish kind of did a quick little, not really remodel, but they made their outdoor area a little more conducive, you know, to comfortably dining out there. I hope the rest of them can figure something out. But just so you guys all know, I mean, it's not like we're just turning a blind eye to restaurants or anything. In fact, there's two, the public works director and the deputy public works director both own or at least have a large ownership in restaurants. So the city of Brookings, as far as the organization of it and the staff people that are there, are connected to and care about the industry. So we're doing, I was going to say we're doing everything I can. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy. You know, another thing that's really stinking crazy, that's really disheartening, is that here we are this long into this thing, and there's still, like, you still have to fight in line for tests, you know. Testing for COVID is still really not just readily accessible, especially rapid testing isn't readily accessible. And here we are this many months into it, and it seems like a bunch of those things would have been pumped out by now, you know? I mean, the idea of coming into contact with somebody that has tested positive with COVID And so in your mind, as a concerned citizen or concerned, you know, anything, you want to go get tested, right? And it's still not very available. Crazy, you know. And I can't help but think if it was, I mean, we were building military equipment and ships and stuff this quick, you know, when World War II broke out, man, holy smokes. It just seems like we're late, you know, serious, just late to the stinking party. And I know a lot of that would come from high up, like federal level, you know. Yeah. What else did I have? That's pretty much it. I'll keep... If I hear, or when I hear kind of a more from mayors, you know, or like a kind of a consensus of mayors, or at least rural mayors, I'll keep chatting about that. And I'll keep chatting about it and see what. I think there's Dave Barnes. I think there's more than a few folks here who wouldn't get tested no matter what. I would agree, Dave. There's a lot of folks. I'm sure. There's a whole lot of folks. But I would, you know, and I would like to know that, because I can see it. It's almost kind of like encircling me and those that are in my same circle. You know. I have come into contact with people with COVID, you know, or at least that were later tested positive for COVID. And so once you start to see it, once you start to see positive cases and people that you see that you know see others that you see, and it's just kind of in the circle, you know it's not going to take long. It's not going to take long, right? And it would just be, it'd be really nice to, and they're probably the ones spreading it. Yeah, I don't know, Candace. The lights around town look great, Andy. The Christmas lights, yeah, dude. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, wouldn't it be great in years to come? Like if they all go back to Azalea Park and we have that beautiful show at Azalea Park, plus we still have all the lights downtown and everything. That would really be something. Yeah. All right, guys. I think that's it. So I will, today's Sunday, Tuesday. I'll see you Tuesday at 6:00. No council meetings. Our next council meeting is going to be the second Monday in January when we swear in the new fella. Yeah. All right, guys. I'll see you Tuesday at 6:00.